turn it over to Shelley.
All right. Hi. I'm really was enthused about hearing Jane today. That was, she's a friend of mine. I've known her for a lot of years, and that was a real good mobility session. And it is very different to do mobility over the phone, as it is a lot of things, rather than in person. So we do the best we can, but anyway, so I would assume that my guest speaker is on the line with us.
Yes.
She is the lovely wife of Steve Cook. Her name is Shannon Cook. She's here in Columbia, South Carolina. We've known each other a long time, and she is works with me in various areas with our seniors. And Shannon, she's got a big background in working with blind people, and I'm going to let you explain your credentials and all that kind of thing. And welcome. Thank you for being with us today. So, Shannon, I'm turning it over to you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like Shelley said, I'm Shannon Cook, and many of you may know my husband, Steve Cook. He sends emails out to all corners of the earth pretty often. So, but if you have that connection, that's just to give you some context. But yeah, I have been involved with working with blind people as an adult. I grew up, you know, since birth, had cataracts, developed glaucoma as a child, went through public schools, and went to summer camps for blind children. And I went to the College of Charleston for my undergraduate and then University of South Carolina for my master's in social work. I worked a very brief time at Verizon Wireless and learned a lot about what I did not want from a job. And then I began working at the Commission for the Blind in 2004 as an older blind counselor. That's the name of the program here in South Carolina for people 55 and over. Excuse me. I left that job about a year ago. I was there for a little over 17 and a half years. I still have a passion for working with seniors, even though now I work with youth in transition services. And one of my big passions, whether it's in a professional or personal capacity, as Shelley and others can tell you, is decluttering, organizing, having your home set up in a way that works best for you. To start the conversation, I don't want to jump into the how before you figure out the why. So for some people, their why may be that they want to get things out of their way so that cleaning is easier, locating items is easier. If you have a lot of, let's say, this is kind of common with women over years, that you will keep clothes in different sizes. Well, if you're not that size, but you're still having to sort through clothes that are the wrong size, that's clutter. It's in your way. It's keeping you from getting to the things you do need. And it's just muddying up the waters, so to speak. So that may be your goal, is to, you know, just have less things to deal with, to sort through. You may only want to have things in your home that you really love, not just, it's okay. I remember getting it and I thought I was going to like it, but I really don't now, but I'll keep it because, you know, I spent that money and I just feel bad getting rid of it because, you know, it costs a lot. Well, if you don't like it, the money's gone. And, you know, if that's your motivation, and sometimes that takes a while for people to wrap their mind around, you know, that, hey, you're getting rid of something that you spent some money on. It's not doing you any favors. Like I said, the money's gone. You've got the memories. The memories will be there regardless if the item is in your home. So if that's something and it doesn't thrill you, just get rid of it. If you know someone who loves that item, give it to them. You know, it just, the goal is to get it gone. Some people want to have their homes set up in a way that they can entertain more often. Maybe things are kind of messy too often and they just don't want to have people over because they feel like they'd be judged because the home's not, you know, spick and span perfect. And I think a lot of folks, when they're invited over, they don't care that much about that. But it's usually the person that's the one that feels that way that kind of inhibits their own options, so to speak. So, you know, that could be some of your why. It could just be for, you know, maybe you have an allergy to dust and you need to dust more often. And the less things in your environment, the easier it is to keep up with that. For me, that's one of my big whys, is I don't want so much to have to move around when I clean. So I can get to the cleaning and then get on to other things that I really want to do more. I don't mind cleaning, but I certainly have other things in life that are my goals, as I'm sure most everyone does. Late last year, right before Christmas, my husband and I had our floors redone. And so everything in the house got moved around, which was awesome. And then when we put things back, I told my husband, I said, let me do, you know, like the big pieces we can move. But as far as sorting through everything, I said, let's go through and really decide on the things we really want to keep. And then other things, let's get rid of them or find someone who could love those things. So that's what we did. And we have quite a bit of items that are accumulating in the little shed out back that are going to go. And that's, just to make a little side note too, that's one of the big issues I've had over the years when I have gotten rid of things, is I would stick them in a corner somewhere, and then your decluttered items reclutter your environment. So it makes it, you know, like you're going backwards. So I made a point to say, once we decide to get rid of something, you know, we're fortunate to have a building where it's out of our living space. So that's where we put it. And then once we finish the process, we will get it together and take it all at once to a Goodwill or Salvation Army or Habitat for Humanity house, somewhere like that. So we don't, obviously neither one of us drive, and we don't have family or anyone, you know, who has a vehicle where we could do it in small spurts. So that's the decision we made, was to do that kind of in one fell swoop. We got a friend that we see every so often, and they've got a truck. So we'll just load it up and go on about our business when we do that. So like I say, for us, that's the why. And keeping that in mind, when we start the process, there's several ways to go about it. But over the years, I've read quite a few books, a lot of books. Most of them are on BARD. So they're readily available through the National Library Service about everything, decluttering, organizing. And there is a difference there. Decluttering is where you're thinning out your possessions. You're getting rid of some things. Organizing is where you take the things you have and set them up in a way where you can easily get to them so you can use them. Because that's kind of the point of why we have possessions, is to be able to use them. If we're not going to use them, we can't get to them, and we never are able to get to them, then they become clutter. Excuse me. And I just wanted to make that distinction, because a lot of people lump the two together and they're not the same exact thing. And then another aspect of that, of the decluttering, is minimalism. And that's where people will live with the smallest amount of items that they can remain functional. And, you know, that's not to say you walk in someone's house and they have, you know, a chair and a couch, and it's very stark. For each person, that may be something different. But that's just a different spin on that. So getting more into the process of how I go about decluttering. Excuse me one second. I'm going to take a sip of drink. Okay. How I get into the process is I've gone through several different versions of this over the years. And the one I think that is very user-friendly is one where you declutter in 10-minute spurts. If you want to do 10 minute spurts in a day, then that's great. You do that. If you do one a day, at least you know you're making progress in 10-minute segments. So for example, you decide where you want to start. Some people want to tackle kitchen because there's a lot of categories and things in the kitchen. I know we all collect, whether intentional or not, it seems like people end up collecting coffee mugs. And so one thing is to get out all of your coffee mugs, even if they're in the dishwasher and dirty, just put them out. And, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. You know, if you pull one out of the dishwasher and you're not sure later if it's clean, just stick a little tissue in it or something. So, you know, oh yeah, this one's not clean. I need to put it back in the dishwasher, especially if you have some that are the same style and pattern. So, you know, go through those, decide, did I get this one and I just, you know, don't like it that much? Or maybe you thought you were going to use the 40-ounce coffee mug and it takes up a lot of space and you don't because you don't have even a pot that's 40 ounces, for example. Don't know who does that. But anyway, or maybe you get rid of something and you repurpose it. We actually have, oh my goodness, that thing is a huge coffee mug. It's more decorative, but we use our utensils in there. So that's what we have by the stove for our cooking utensils. You know, so that just gives you a different thought. If you do get rid of things, maybe, hey, I needed something to put, you know, maybe writing supplies, or, you know, if your grandkids come over and you have a larger thing, or maybe they're coloring supplies, you know, their crayons and markers and rulers and some paper, you know, things that you could put in one, you know, cute container, and it keeps it all together. And then they can bring it out and use it. And then they can repack it when they're finished and put it away. So, you know, that's a win-win all around when you could find something that you like, but you repurpose it to another area. And sometimes you just have to say to yourself, okay, I've got 50 coffee mugs. I need to whittle this down to 30. I don't need 50. I never have that many people. We use them every day. It's two of us in the house or four of us in the house. You know, so if you have 30 and you have four people in the house, you can use one every day for a week and have two left over. So, you know, it gives you a goal. So you go through that, you know, you set aside the ones that you want to eliminate or move somewhere else. You put the ones back, and then that's your 10 minutes for the day. If you want to go on to something else, you know, you could go through maybe your bowls. If you have a lot of bowls or dishes altogether, all your plates and bowls. for me, we have our Christmas mugs separated from our regular everyday rest of the year mugs. So that's a different category in our house because we do drink quite a bit of coffee. My email is not coffee queen for nothing. So, you know, that's a different area. Maybe your plastic containers, Tupperware or Lock and Lock, Rubbermaid. Go through those because over years we all, I think, accumulate a lot of those. And sometimes you shove one to the back because it's damaged, or you know you're not going to use it, or you don't want to get rid of it again because it's a good size and it could come in handy that one time that you may need in the future that you can't identify right now. And then you realize there's never been a time that has come up that you needed it. So, you know, put it to go. Or if it's damaged, just toss it. If you have recycle program in your community, you know, it may be something that can be recycled, because I do that quite a bit with things. That's always my number one question to myself. Can this be recycled? If I don't want it and I'm going to throw it away. If it can, then toss it in recycling. At least you know it's given something a little bit more life later on. So that would be, you know, things for the kitchen. And if you, for example, I know a lot of people will store their cleaning supplies under the kitchen sink. That could be another area. You know, maybe you have several bottles that are the same product and they're all partially used. I mean, if you can use a funnel and just consolidate them down into one full bottle, I mean, that's helpful. And then, you know, of course, put the other bottles in the recycling bin if they will go. Another thing you can, as you go through, you can ask yourself three questions. Do I need this item? Will I use this item? And do I love this item? And if your answer is no to all of those, then ideally you should put it to go because you have eliminated every reason to keep it. Because the love this item would speak to things of sentimental value. And if you really like something and it brings you joy to have that and, you know, just have it be part of your household, then that's great. I mean, keep it. The only thing I would say, if you have items, maybe you've collected things over the years, find a way to put those out so they're on display because you've taken the time to collect them. You know, get a shelf or something that you can put, and maybe it's, you know, something that can be mounted on the wall. Maybe you get a wine glass every time you go to a new city and it's got the name in there. You know, maybe some people do little spoons or bells or goodness only knows what kind of things. So, you know, or maybe you've collected them and you go, you know what, I'm not going to put these out. And they were important to me at the time, but I just don't care now. Again, that can be donated, you know, because if someone needs dishes or different things, you know, it may be something useful that they can make into something that would be valuable to them. So I think that's enough on the kitchen things, but you get the idea. You know, you look at what you have. Maybe it's your junk drawer, since that's so many different things being a junk drawer. Just consider that one category. Maybe you want to clean off the top of the refrigerator as far as what's on there and then actually clean it. I mean, that could be 10 minutes. So that's, excuse me, that's dealing with the kitchen. And, you know, you go through your home. Maybe you say, I don't need 20 towels. Maybe you decide you need 10. Or if you have an item, this may be something that you bought. It was a specialty item, like a lint remover. Maybe you don't use that. Or maybe you have a different item that works better. Then, you know, that can go in your go pile. Someone can probably make use of that. But again, just going through and making sure that, you know, you don't want to spend too much time wavering on, do I keep it? Just whatever your gut instinct is usually what you will end up deciding anyway. So that's the perfect time to say, I just don't feel that strongly about it. Put it to go. On to the next thing. I'll give you another personal example. My dad passed away a couple of years ago, and when we were going through his things, my stepmom gave me his Bibles. Well, I've ended up with about 10 to 12 Bibles, and I decided what I'm going to do is I've got some cousins that I just relocated last year, just found them again on Facebook, and they are my dad's brother's kids, that side of the family. And so each one of them, I'm going to send them one of my dad's Bibles and then, you know, different family members and friends. And I will keep several myself, of course, but I thought that would be a nice way to have other people, you know, have something of my dad's that meant a lot to him. And you know, it would also be a way to get rid of those items, but other people would value them. So it's not, here's this big collection of things that I may not look at or do anything with, but someone else can treasure those. Books are people have a lot of books, and, you know, for a lot of us, when we could see better, we might have printed books. We might have Braille books. We might have other things comparable. And, you know, you could have a lot of digital books. Maybe you need to go through your digital collection and weed out some of those, you know, just to delete them. Maybe you don't want to keep those forever once you've read them, but you just haven't gotten around to deleting them. You know, that could be another option. And, you know, it's just taken, like I say, bakeware is another one of the areas. But you go through your house, you go through,
Oh, good. Wonderful.
Your aids. I think somebody's unmuted.
I had it at 90. I had it fully charged.
But you go through your aids and, your tools. That's another area that could be whittled down for a lot of folks. But, you know, once you get those, then you decide what to do when you get rid of them. Some people will take some that are of more value because they really don't want to get rid of them just to give them away. They might go down to a flea market and set up and sell their items. Nowadays, you can do so much through eBay and Facebook Marketplace and different resources like that, where you can sell items that you really don't have to go somewhere. if you know how to do those things, you can have those, get rid of those while you're still sitting at home and have that taken care of. So, but once you get past the process, elimination, one of the next steps is you need to create a habit so that you don't reclutter the space you have. So, for example, if you used to come in every day and, you know, drop your purse or your bag, your coat, your keys, your mail, all of that on the table, you need to start a new habit. Let me put the mail wherever you go through your mail. If it's on your desk, take that, put it on the desk, hang up your coat. Put your keys wherever you know you will remember that you put your keys, because that can be a lot of issues for folks. But don't intentionally create clutter. Maybe at the end of the day, you just go through the house, you pick up some things, put them where they go, kind of, you know, redistribute. If you have things that you need to put back in your computer room or your bedroom or the bathroom, maybe you're filing your nails, for those of us who do that, and you need to put the file back up. You know, just things to pick up and keep the area from accumulating things. Because if you have a table, for example, your dining room table, if it's clear and you put a couple items on there, it's a lot easier to put a couple more and a couple more. But if it's clear, you want to keep it clear. You don't want that one thing to start the habit of accumulation again. So, and it is a habit, and it's something that we can train ourselves not to do, as we create these habits, so we can maintain the, declutterization. I think I just made up that word, but, so we could maintain the atmosphere and the more simplified, way of being in our home. It makes a huge difference. Because that's always one of the things with the books that I've read where people say, you know, they've hired this company to come in and they do the decluttering and the house is magazine beautiful. And then they come back in a month and it's junky again, because the homeowners did not maintain and create new habits to keep the decluttering as it was. And that's a big aspect of that. So, you know, you just have to kind of nudge yourself and say, yeah, I'm tired, but let me go hang my coat up. Let me go drop the mail in another spot. Nothing says you have to look at it right then, but, you know, put it where it goes at least. Or maybe you create a new place for things so that you can say, okay, this is the new spot for the mail. so that it's in your normal pathways that you go throughout your house, and you're more likely to grab it, go through it, and keep that from stacking up. Because a lot of times, you know, we all know it's easy for mail to pile up, and then you've got the junk flyers and all of that that gets in the way and makes it look like it's a mountain when it's really just about three or four things you need to look at. You know, so that would be another aspect of that. So I am very willing to take any questions that people may have.
Hi, Shannon. It's Judy. And hey, Judy. Hi. I want to talk. First of all, I really appreciate you talking about decluttering. Oh, my goodness. Do I need decluttering? And so you've given me some good ideas. One of the things that you mentioned, I wanted to pursue a little bit too, because, you know, you talked about cleaning off the top of the refrigerator and then maybe cleaning it. Uh-huh. Do you want to say a word about cleaning it as a blind, as someone who might be new to blindness and hasn't thought about the best way to do that? Like, how do you know you got it clean?
Okay, absolutely. For me, I'm not tall enough to reach it, so I have a little tried and true step stool that I use so that I can at least access it. And what I do is, for anyone that's heard me speak before, y'all know I love some microfiber towels, because microfiber towels will pick up so much lint and deposit that a regular towel or dishcloth will not. So that's a tool I have in my arsenal. But what I would do is I would take the microfiber cloth and I would dampen it, and then I would go in one direction. So I'd go left to right, starting out. And because I know that it may be a little bit of dust up there, I would just like maybe go right to left, and then I'd go back over to the right and then press down. So that way, if you do have something dusty that falls off, it's only coming off on one side. And then I would go back over that, and I would go back to front. So that way, you know, you have come at it from two directions. If you think of it like a grid for any flat surface, that's the way I have recommended to people throughout working with the Older Blind program. If you think of it as a grid, so you make a little line across from the, going right to left, and then, you know, so you do a line, you go back a little bit, do another line, back a little bit. And the same with front to back, you know, maybe you start on the left side and you swipe forward, and then you go back to the back, move over a little bit and swipe forward. And then another thing with the microfiber towels, I've gotten a big pack of them. So I have quite a bit of them. And so I'll take a separate one and dry the surface, because then if you leave a damp surface, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes things will deposit that, you know, just things floating in the air that, you know, you might have a crumb that you've flicked over that way and didn't realize it, and it'll stick. But if you dry the surface, then it's, you know, it's clean. You can go back and feel. And I always, I laugh because I tell my husband, I said, use your blindness skills, because he'll miss a spot. And he'll say, well, I wiped it off. And I'll tell him, well, use your blindness skills. Go back and feel to tell if you got everything, because that's, you know, unless you have severe neuropathy, that's the best way to go back and check yourself. So that is what I recommend for any flat surface, whether you have a flat top stove, a window, a counter, a floor, anything like that. Just, you know, and if you have a large area for your home and you're doing your floors, then break it down into separate sections. So, you know, just mentally for yourself. So if you have an area by the dining room table, you know, you just want to do that. So you go, you do your left to right, front to back kind of setup. Then maybe you move over to the hallway. Maybe you do a different area, but it, it makes it a little bit more manageable. And also if you, you know, just do so many minutes at a time, maybe it's the same with doing the 10-minute sessions with decluttering. Maybe that's how you're able to do cleaning, because it can be physically taxing depending on what you're doing. You know, maybe you do a couple of areas and then the next day you say, okay, that's where I left off and I'm going to come back and do this other couple of sections. But that would be, that'd be how I would tackle it.
Hey, Shannon,
this is Stuart Gross. This is, there's a Shelly is asking a question. So I asked her to unmute.
Okay. Got it. I'm sorry. I was going to go back to the thing of the collections of things and repurposing. One thing I heard on a program recently was back in the day, this lady had a big collection of Barbie dolls. And it appealed to me because I've inherited a collection of Barbie dolls that were not mine, but former family members. And so one thing you can do is dress these things up, package them up, and maybe give them away to your grandchildren as a way to, you know, if they're into dolls at the stage of life where they're into dolls, it just adds, you know, your ability to add to their collection. But it means something because it's was from Aunt so-and-so or Grandma so-and-so. You know, and I thought that was a really cool idea. So you, if you've got collections of stuff and you don't want them anymore, start giving them away. Maybe you have run across friends that like those same things or whatever, and you can use them as birthday gifts or holiday gifts or whatever like that. So
exactly.
I thought that was a neat thing. Yeah. Thanks.
Sure. Next, and if you have things, I was just going to piggyback on that and just say, and if you have things that are collections that, you know, maybe you don't know anybody that can use, but somebody could do something really crafty with them, you know, and you get a different spin on that, then, you know, give it to them and let them have at it and figure out how to make it into something new, but with the same items. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is your hand raised?
Yeah, there's a hand raised. Jennifer, I'm going to ask you to unmute. It is, you're on the phone, so if you would hit *6.
Thank you. I really very much can relate and appreciate your presentation. As a child, I grew up with very little. And as I started to work and then these stores had coupons, I'd go to the clearance rack and purchase things with coupons thinking, well, maybe one day I'll use it. So clearly, I had many things in my closet that had tags on them. So giving away something that I paid for was difficult for me, but not giving it away, but what was I going to do with it? But I was fortunate in that this summer, someone called me for a reference. As we got chatting, I found out she and her family were going through a difficult time. So I asked her if she would be interested in brand new suits, clothing, tags attached. She couldn't believe I was making this offer. And the reason I share this is I felt wonderful giving over 47 hangers to this person that I used to work with because I knew she could use it. So that's just my one suggestion. And then the other thing that I really subscribe to is the 10-minute rule. You can almost do anything for 10 minutes and focus on that. And I think that's an exceptionally fantastic tip. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Yes, ma'am. And I appreciate you saying that about the coworker. We have, and I think a lot of communities, I'm active on Facebook, and there are usually local community Facebook groups, and people will put on there like so-and-so had a house fire and here are the things they need. Can anybody donate? And that's a great time if you've got that, you know, to reach out and say, hey, I've got these items. They might be brand new or gently used, but if someone needs them and you've got them to offer, then that's a great way to, you know, pass those along and know that, that they'll serve a purpose. Absolutely.
Hey,
thank
Shannon,
you for that comment.
Hey, Shannon, this is Michael. Oh, there we go. Hey, Shannon, this is Michael. I want to throw out a couple of mindsets that help me, because decluttering, the greatest benefit is all the time savings. Because I would keep, I keep every piece of electronics, old computer parts and stuff. And then when I want to find something, it'd take me 30, 45 minutes to sift, feel through everything to find that one piece. But So a couple things that helped me was, one, the mindset of if it costs $20 or less and you really don't think you're using it, you can get rid of all those things. And maybe you have to rebuy one thing, but it's worth it for all the time savings and everything you got rid of. The other was, someone said, if you put all the things you're unsure about in totes, and then if you find a year, two, three later, you just never open those totes, and maybe you get rid of all that stuff and not really think twice about it. And the other thing, that mindset, because sometimes you have to be in the right frame of mind to liquidate things. But one question I ask is, if all my possessions, every possession, were destroyed by a fire, flood, or tornado, would I replace this? And when you start thinking that way, it's very easy to declutter and think about what's important to you. And they also talk about, like, in disasters, when you have to relocate and think all the things you have to take with you. They said, don't worry so much about what you think you might need in the future, but think about what makes you happy, what makes you feel good. So those are just a few things that I've
Yes. Those are all great suggestions, and you're right. I've come across those. Time management is or time savings is a lot of people's purpose for doing some decluttering. And it does take a shift in your mindset, because I grew up with the mom who would always look to see what's on sale or on clearance, because she was very big into gift giving. And you know, all the kids at our church, when they'd graduate high school, she could go to her little gift stash and pull something from it. But it did take up a lot of space. And, you know, for me to get out of the mindset of, oh, let's see what's on clearance right now, especially after Christmas. Well, if I don't need it, why would I buy it just because it was cheap? And that was always the mindset. Got this for $2, but I'm never going to use it. So, I mean, even though it's $2 wasted. And also, when there's big sales, like, I don't know if any of y'all do the Bath and Body Works semi-annual sale. Well, they do have great sales. But if you already have a nice, sufficient stash of your shower gels and lotions and things, you really don't need more. So you have to kind of come to your own point of what's enough. And what point do I need to stop buying and use up what I have, you know, and what that looks like for you, because that's going to be different for everyone. So good point. Thank you. Do we have any others?
Do you have any tips about labeling things, or labeling, like, at least, you know, grouping your like items together, putting in a box and saying, yeah, these, you know, great when you move, but just for general storage, right? Like,
right. Yes, I actually, many years ago now, it's probably been, oh my gosh, about 10 or 12 years ago, I started learning Braille so that I could label things. That was my whole point in learning Braille. And I did it through Hadley. And that has become such a wonderful thing. But there's so many ways that you can use to label. So if you don't know Braille, you're not out of luck. There's technology gadgets, and then, you know, that you can use to make your own labels. You can record what a certain thing is. I always think of spices when I'm talking about this. But you can also use things like zip ties or rubber bands, or, you know, if you have low vision and you can see, like, a Sharpie marker, you could take an index card and write on it and then tape it around your bottle. You know, if you have, like you were saying, there's a lot of people have different essential oils now. And what I've done with mine is I got a silicone ice tray, because they have little square spots that are perfect for the little essential oil bottles. And so I put them in there in alphabetical order, but I still have my little label around them so that I do know in case I accidentally put it in the wrong spot. But sometimes it's just, again, repurposing something that you're going, oh, this is so convenient. What could I use it for? Oh, these little bottles. That's great. So, you know, it's kind of like rediscovering something you've always had to use it for something more useful than where it was.
Shannon, this is Judy. Yes. We might want to point out to people who don't know what it is, you said you learned Braille from Hadley, and Hadley is a correspondence school that teaches many, many things, and it's just for blind people, and it's free. And so that's where Shannon used that resource to learn Braille.
Right, you're right. That is, I should have mentioned that. And they do have one thing I really like about Hadley, not to get too sidetracked, but they do have courses for family members of blind people so that they can learn how to support their family member without being overbearing. Because I know we all have had that experience, whether it's family or friends or strangers. At some point, somebody has wanted to do way too much for us, but they do have courses for family of blind people, and they have professional courses that folks can pay for as well. But that's right. That's how I learned it. So, and I learned just as UEB was becoming, I had actually just about finished my regular.
Don't go into UEB. That's another explanation that people will.
It's just new Braille.
That's it. Seriously. Yeah. Shannon, this is Shelley. You've been a lot of help. And I know, speaking from experience and personally, Shannon lives in my town, so we get together periodically. And she's helped me a lot over the years, just the sentimental thing of, oh, I've had this so long, and so-and-so gave it to me. And she'd go, yeah, but are you really using it? Has it really got a purpose? Do you really need it? And those kinds of things are hard for me. But anyway, it's fun. It's fun.
And her mean friend Shannon says, get rid of it.
Yeah, get rid of it. You don't need it. But,
no, but it really is each person what your comfort level is, so that, you know, it's not anybody coming and telling you you have to get rid of things.
Right. It's joy. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's neat. Other questions? Gosh, we
covered Jake and Shine?
Yeah.
Is it all right if I speak?
Sure.
Okay, great. So I was thinking of another situation. We, several years ago, were struck with cleaning out a mother-in-law / mother's apartment after her passing. And I wanted to let people know, if they don't know about Green Drop. Green Drop is something that the NFB sponsors, and you can call the National Center and you can donate specific things. It's on our website, nfb.org, and they'll come and take things as long as they're marked NFB. They'll take it, and NFB gets credit for that and funding, extra funding, and you're getting decluttered at the same time. So just wanted to share that piece.
Thank you. I didn't think about that. We don't have it here yet. I hope we do get it. But that is a great thing. And also, if you're tech savvy and use internet, Google's my best friend. But you can go on there and find all kinds of places to donate different items. So, you know, that may be something to, put out for the group if we need to. And also, if anyone wants to get in touch with me afterwards, if you have a specific situation you don't want to bring up right now, I'm always willing to help people. Like I say, if it's like solving a problem for me, so I enjoy it quite a bit. If you have something you need some help figuring out, sometimes just talking it out with someone else can bring you to a solution that you might not have thought of on your own.
Shannon is also the one that helps us with our resource guide and puts a, has been helping to collect the information that we want in our resource guides and putting out our thumb drives and stuff. So if anybody has any, we'll have to put the Green Drop maybe thing in there to make sure that where it is available, people can use that. So. Yeah.
We've done the free white cane program in Slate and Stylus. We'll just include that with the NFB resources.
And I don't, this is Judy. I don't even know if we've explained what we've talked about it, referred to a Slate and Stylus, but if someone is new to all this, that is a blind person's pencil. So that's a general it takes two tools to create this pencil, but there is a slate that you write on, and the stylus is how you punch out the dots. And I think there are a lot of people who aren't learning that anymore, and more should, because I know unblind people. That's my word. I love unblind. They don't haven't given up their pencils or pens altogether, so we shouldn't either.
One thing we are for there were people in the application process that indicated they wanted to learn Braille. And I'll go into this a little more tomorrow, but we are going to make available a way for individuals to be able to work on Braille that have come to this retreat. So that will be a possibility as well. Yeah.
And I am definitely a proponent of using the slate and stylus. I know a lot of people use the Brailler, and I'd rather Braille things with my slate and stylus. But I think that's because that's how I learned. And I never got used to using the Brailler. So, you know, but I agree. It's so handy. I always keep a slate and stylus in my purse. I'm ready to go at any given moment. If someone wants to give me information and I need to record it some way, I'll just pull that out and I'm ready to go.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Michael. I want to go back to the organization a little bit. You can go on Google or whatever. You can find different organizers, and they make them different shelves and drawers. And the one I bought for my office, it works out really nice. It's a cart, and it has two rows of six drawers each. They're plastic, so you got to watch if you put something too heavy, they might slide off the track. So I don't know if I recommend this particular unit, but it works pretty good. And that way, everything's divided. You know, I have my medical stuff in one, and, you know, just different things, like I said, cables. I have one for microphones because I used to have a DJ service. So, but whatever you collect, if you sew or whatever, it's a very nice tool to have to just sort your items that way.
Yeah, you're right. And they do, I've seen those on Amazon that they'll have different ones, Sam's Club, because I like to look at that. And one thing that any of the authors of these books that I read will tell you is don't buy anything. Any storage items before you declutter, because you don't know what you're going to need until after that process is done. You know, and one more thing to mention too, for example, if you have towels, Dana White is one of the authors, and she said, the space you have is the space you have. Sometimes you have to tinker with how you fold a towel to make it fit in the space with the other things you need to do. And my husband says I drive him crazy because I'm always rearranged. I'm always rearranging to, you know, make things more usable, but he'll get used to folding things a certain way. And then say, oh, that's not how we're doing it now. So, but, yeah, that's a big thing. Just, you know, try different folding techniques to see what works and what you can fit the most in your space.
Ada Crandall, did you have a question?
Yes, I don't have a question. I have a statement. When you're talking about the decluttering, I'm a nitpicker about decluttering. I recently moved from one home to another home. I started decluttering as I packed up.
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 or 5 bags that have to go to Green Drop right now.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage bags, the big green ones.
Right.
Anything that I wasn't going to use in my new home, I left it in the old home.
Yep.
Everything for donations. Mm-hmm. I thank the young lady for some of the organizing skills. Everything that I do, I put everything in place. My closet, it's organized by the colors, the clothes, and the thing. I'm an organizer freak, but sometimes I fall off the wagon and I go out and I buy stuff, like she said, that I don't need. And like when I started moving, I realized, when did I buy this? I don't need this. And I said, I just left it. I mean, clothes and all to donate. So
yes,
I think the biggest part of cluttering is we go out and we purchase things that we don't really need,
mm-hmm.
and we put them down somewhere and we literally forget about them until we have to move or clean a spot. And I love your 10-minute spot. I love those 10 minute jumps when you could just clean a spot and stop one area in 10 minutes. That was great.
Because so many people get overwhelmed with the thought of, I've got to clear out the whole room. No, just take a small area and you slowly build momentum over time. But yeah, you mentioned about the things that you buy. I've started asking myself when I looked at things that are outside of, you know, the normal things you buy, I'll say to myself, now, is this just going to get stuck in a drawer and then end up in the go pile in 2 years? You know, so if I can kind of already envision that it's not going to get used that often, I just don't even bother to buy it. So, and I think as we all get older, we realize it's the people in our lives and not the things that make life so great.
As Michael, just follow up on what Ada was saying there, I think if you won the best keys for organization is take that extra time and you have something in your head to put it exactly where you want it to be. You know, we get lazy and just throw it down and right. Then your coffee table or whatever just cluttered. And if you just take that extra time to get something where it needs to go, it's going to make yep. your life easier.
Don't just put it down, put it away in its place.
This is Judy. We're going to be winding up pretty soon. The other thing about decluttering, also, though, for blind people who don't put things away right when you meant to do it, it can be terrible looking for something. Then you know you should know where it is and it's not there. And right. it's because if you think back in your life, you didn't put it there.
Yes.
So I'm guilty of all this. So I want the rest of you to do better than I do. And one of the things that it's hardest to find for me is my cordless phone. Because that can be anywhere. And if you don't pay attention, I have spent, sometimes it gets dropped into a cushion in my, yeah. my couch. That's a big one when it rings and you can't find it.
Yes, ma'am.
So having said all that, Shannon, I want to thank you. This was great. You inspired me.
I'm glad. If I were closer to you, I would help you out.
Oh boy, I might give you a ticket to come.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Oh my. All right. Well, thank you so much for this. And Shelley, I don't know if you have any last thing, but Shannon, thank you. And
not really. I just wanted to thank Shannon too. It was very worthwhile and got a lot out of it. So
thanks for asking me. I appreciate it.